As I was thinking about this morning, actually, I was actually drying my hair, and Lynette has a hair dryer. For y'all that don't know, Miss Lynette was a hairstylist for 5 years. If she hadn't have been, helped me get started in the ministry, I don't know how we'd have made it. She does her own hair and mine. When the kids was little, she did theirs. But she has where her study is, she has a comb out station, a wash station, and a hair drying deal, and a place for all of her curling irons and all that. So I went up there to get my hair dried, so it don't take very long because I ain't got much of it left. And I was going over and thinking about the service, and all of a sudden, as I was meditating, all of a sudden it dropped into my heart, and I thought, oh, man, that's good. And I think it was from the Lord, and this is what I got. 23 is not a year to survive, but a year to thrive. So that's what I got this morning. 23 is not just a year to survive, but a year to thrive. Amen. Hallelujah. So that can be your theme. I'm not surviving, I'm thriving. Hallelujah. You know, all of us face a new year every year. It's brand new. There's new possibilities. There's new opportunities. And you know, we can choose what we want for the upcoming year. It's all new. You can't do anything with what's happened last year. But you can do what you can control what you do this year. You know, now some people will sit and think about the past year and try to relive the past because it was good. Some people will try to preserve the present and just keep it like it is, no changes. And others will pursue to move on and pursue the prize in front of them. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was always thinking about moving forward with God. He said, forgetting those things are behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling. And he talks to us about making the right choices to run our race. Paul was very, very well aware of the Grecian games. That's where our Olympic games, the track part of it comes from. It's from the old Grecian Olympic games. And he was well aware of that. And how many of you have noticed that some of his writings, he brings some of this in. One place it says, lay inside the weights. Now, let's look at what he says, and he's comparing running a race to our race that we run here in this life in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Now, I read it from several different translations, but I like the New Living Translation better. I like the way it said it a little better, so I want to read it in that, from that area. Okay. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. Now, he's talking about, right at the end, about himself, what he does, but he's telling us that if we're going to win our race, we have to do it according to the rules, and we have to do certain things so that we won't be disqualified. Now, most of you know that Cameron, my oldest grandson, he's been driving race cars since he was 8 years old. He still drives. And, of course, I've liked racing. Went to my first dirt track racing when I was about 14 to 15, and I've liked it ever since. There are certain things. After the race, the first five finishers in the racing that he does, the micro sprints and then the full-blown sprints, you have to go across a weight and be weighed. That car with the driver in it there is a minimum weight that you have to bend. So I've been looking at, they have just been having down at the expo there downtown, they've been having the shootout, they call it, the micro sprints. And I would see they would give an update, and this one got disqualified because they were too light. They didn't make the weight limit. They were disqualified. In the big races, they will, and Cameron's had to do it many times, you have to take the head off of the car, and they tech the motor because you're supposed to be running a certain motor. And if you are not in line, you did get disqualified. Now, that's what Paul is talking about here, about us as we run our race. There are things that we need to do so that we don't become disqualified. Hello. Amen. You know, as we're looking at this, Paul, I think maybe he put this in Corinthians, and then later on, in he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and I believe he's looking back on how he ran his race. Did he qualify? And he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith. I'm reading that from the NIV. Now, you know, in another place, he tells us to fight the good fight of faith. That's actually, he says that in 1 Timothy 6:12. But from here, see, here in 2 Timothy, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Then now look here in 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. When you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So I want to take from this statement and zero in on some things. I'm just going to say fight a good fight. He says fight the good fight of faith. Up here in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I've fought a good fight. So evidently the fight he's talking about that he fought was the fight of faith, because in 1 Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith, telling Timothy. Now, you know, it will be a fight to maintain our faith in God. And why do I say that? Because the enemy will do everything he can to distract you from doing what you need to do. You know, in racing terms, a guy's leading the race and he goes into the corner and loses the, you know, spins out, hits the wall. And they interview him at the end and they say, you were out in front, what, by a long shot. How come you to spin out? He said, I lost my focus. He lost his race because he lost his focus. He wasn't focused. And when you're in a race car, when you're going into those corners, especially, you have to hit, they call it hitting your marks. You have to know when to let off and when to accelerate again and come out of the corner. And it was because he lost his focus. We've got to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Now, in order to fight the good fight, there's some things you need to do. Now, he is comparing our race here with people that are racing on a track in the Olympics. And he talks about that an athlete goes into strict training. What does that mean? That means that you can't do certain things. If you ever have watched on the TV the boxing matches and you hear them talking about that, they will go maybe a month or two before the fight, they will go to a camp away from everybody and everything. They're on a strict diet. They're on strict training regimen. Even though they could eat certain foods, nothing wrong with it, they have what they call a training table, and they eat certain foods that will help their body to be strong. You know, it says here in 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul talking, he said, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Now, strict training, what am I talking about? I'm talking about prayer, reading the Word, doing what the Word says, and giving of your money, offerings, tithes, giving of your time and your effort into the church. Oh boy, it's getting quiet now because I'm talking about you, about how you got to do something. And there's a lot of other things that we could talk about. But some of you have already made a determination, this year I am going to be strict with my eating and I'm not going to eat certain foods. I am going to lose some weight. Now that's going to call for some strict discipline. Hello? If you're going to succeed in the natural, in a race, in athletics, or whatever, there is going to be some strict discipline. Things that you have to do if you're going to be a winner. They say that The race is not won on the track. They say this about car racing. They say this about track running, yourself running. I was a sprinter. I won a lot of races. But I didn't win that race because I just went out there and lined up and ran. I trained every day. I trained coming out of the starting blocks. I trained hard. In the racing, car racing, they say the race is not won on the track. The grace is won in the garage. That means you prepared that car before you ever got to the track. How many understand what I'm trying to tell you? You got a race to run. But you just don't, okay, woo, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank God for that. But if you're going to win this race, because the devil is going to do everything he can to distract you, to discourage you, and you're going to have strict training. And then, you know, you're going to have set specific goals. He said here in 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. In other words, he just wasn't running to be running. He had a goal in mind, and that was to finish his race. And we read that, we'll read that, I've finished the race. I fought a good fight. Okay? What? Some people just say, well, I'm just living for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, you got to, what is your goal? To win as many people as you can to the Lord and take them with you to go to heaven. Your final goal is to go to heaven. That's reaching the finish line. But you need some in-between goals. One of them is, he said in his word, occupy till I come. He's coming again. Everybody looking for that. That's great. But what does occupy mean? That means doing what you need to do in order to be successful. Hello? You know, when I was running track, and even when I got to drive race cars a little bit, my goal was to finish the race and to win. Did I always win? Not in the car when I was driving, but when I was racing on that track, I won more times than not. Why? Because I trained hard and I had a goal and I would not let anything deter me. I lined up one time. If you know anything about track racing, you got a lane to run in, and you may have 5 lanes or 8-lane track. So I'm lining up. We're going to the starting line, and this old boy says, well, Hagin, I'll see you after I win. I just looked at him. Didn't say nothing. See, he's trying to get me to start thinking. I got my mind set. When the race was over, I turned around and shook his hand and said, good second place, man. He was so focused on deterring me and keeping me from winning that he didn't win himself. He wouldn't have won anyway, but because I never step on that track that I didn't think that I was the best guy there and that anybody could outrun me. And thank God I was pretty fast. Just asked Billy Duguid over there. We were playing flag football right out there on this field. I went across the middle and caught a pass, and he said, and he's fast. I can guarantee you that he's fast. He thought he'd catch me. And he, to this day, he says, you went across the goal line pulling away. Is that right, Brother Billy? But you see, and by then, I was about 45 by then. I wasn't young. But God had blessed me with good speed. And I used it to an advantage for myself in sports. God has blessed you with all blessings. Do what is necessary. Set the goals and win the race. Now, he says here, he keeps his body under. He said, no, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I preach to others, I do not become disqualified. In other words, he did what was necessary so that he wouldn't be disqualified. Now, here you're fighting a good fight, okay? Now let's go back here. And he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finish the race. A lot of people start out, and man, they're excited and it's great. But let me tell you what, this race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. In a marathon, you've got to pace yourself. You can't go out too fast. You know, you got to decide, I'm going to finish. When I went in the military, 1962, Fort Linderman, Missouri, I was doing basic. And I had uncles that had been in the Army and the Navy, and they talked to me about this. And I made up my mind. On the bus going, we rode from Dallas, Texas up there, a whole busload of us. And they're all talking, you know, and everything. And I said, guys, you better make up your mind that you're going to make it. I told them, and they said, what are you talking about? And I said, I was 23 when I went in. Most of those kids I talked to were 18, you know, 17, some of them. And I said, you got to make up your mind that sergeant ain't going to break you, because they're going to do everything they can to break you down. I watched a lot of them get broke down. They didn't graduate. There's a retired Marine, Brother Greg Finley right there. Have you seen that happen? Yeah. See, they were all excited about being in the Army. Well, they found out pretty soon that you got to finish if you're going to graduate. I've seen lots of people in the last 49 years, I guess it is, that Rhema's been going. Start Rhema. But I've seen a lot of them didn't finish. How many Rhema grads in this congregation? Keep your hands up now. How many of you know people that was in your class that were so excited about Rhema, but they weren't with you when you walked across the finish line? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up if that's so. They weren't there when you, see? They didn't finish. They started strong, but they didn't finish. He said, I finished the race. I finished the race. Anybody getting anything out of this? You've got a whole year in front of you. You know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You got to pace yourself. Another thing, if you're going to finish your race, you don't compare yourself with nobody else. The devil will try to get you by saying, hey, look at him, look at her, look at this one, look at that one, so forth and so on. Trying to get your mind off of what you're supposed to do and looking at what they're doing. And then he said, you're not accomplishing anything. Look what they're accomplishing. Look what they're doing. You're not doing anything. Why do you think God's going to help you? See, what he's trying to do is get you off of what God's got you doing. Don't compare yourself to nobody else. Stay focused on the finish line. Stay focused on running the race. A few times I drove a race car, when you come out of that corner, you got to be looking way down the track at the next corner. You can't just look at what's in front of you. If you do, you'll end up in a wreck. When I drive on the highway now, I do not like to drive behind anything that I can't see way down there, and I can see what's happening, and then I can adjust to it. Many people drive right in front of them. When he was young and 8, 9 years old, and I don't know how old I was, but I wasn't that old. We did enduro motorcycle racing, and that's not on a track. That's you running through trees and up hills and down hills and through water and everything else. And you got a number on your helmet. Like if I had 930, then I needed to hit, and they had checkpoints, and you got to hit the checkpoint right on the minute. If you get there too early, you lose 10 points. If you get there late, which they call late, getting there late, you just lose 1 point a minute. Otherwise, you lose 10, so many minutes. So, and I couldn't ever seem to win. And finally, one of the guys we rode with all the time, he said, let me ride with you. And he rode with me and he said, your problem is you're looking at all of the obstacles right in front of you, and you're not looking way down the trail at what's going on, and you're not prepared for it when you get there, so it's causing you a problem. It changed everything. In the next race, I trophied because I got my focus where it should be. I was focusing on this because in that kind of enduro racing, you got a lot of obstacles, rocks and boulders and everything. Anybody in here ever done any of that except me and Craig? Oh, some of you have. You got all kinds of obstacles. But if you just concentrate on what's in front of you, you're not ready for what's the next thing that you're going to hit. So you got to see that and see what's coming at the same time. The enemy has got you focused on what, with all the little things that's going on right here, and you're so focused on that that you don't see the big thing he's got prepared for you down there. And when you get there, He knocks the fire out of you because you weren't ready. So that's what I'm talking about focusing on the finish. We are all going to have problems. Jesus told us that in John's gospel. He said, in this world, you're going to have problems. Anybody ever read that? John 16:33, I think it is. But he said, don't worry. Just stay with me. I've overcome the world, okay? We're going to have those problems. Now, let me, ooh, I got to finish. I'm supposed to be done right now, and I'm not. Keep the faith. That's what he said. Remember? I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul didn't abandon his faith in God. Have you ever read after Paul? If you read his, he had every opportunity in the world to abandon faith. He was beaten. He is left for dead. He was shipwrecked. You can go read it. He tells all about it in there. He experienced hardship, difficulties. He said he'd been hungry. He'd been cold. Didn't have enough, and he'd had more than enough. But in all of the hardship and persecution, he never lost his faith in God, no matter what. Let me tell you something. In this next coming year, you're going to have opportunities to turn your back on what you believe and quit running the race. Let me say this. Keep your faith in God. I don't care what happens. I don't care what comes. I don't care what goes. Apostle Paul said on that ship, I believe God. In the face of adversity, you've got to say, I believe God. And Paul's advice to keeping the faith is found in Ephesians 6. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, keep on standing. Don't turn your back on what the Word of God says. Hold steady. The writer of Hebrews says, hold fast to your confession of faith. In the midst of running your race, you have got to keep believing and keep going. I've been behind in many, many races running that 220-yard dash. But I kept putting one foot in front of the other and said, I kept saying, with every step, I'm gonna catch them. I'm going to win this race. Some people are fast starters. I was a slow starter, but I was a fast finisher. There's some people in five step, they're going full speed. They can hold it. I'm one of these guys that after about 5 yards, the afterburners kick on and I go, boom. But you see, be steady. Run your race and you'll see that my grace is sufficient to see you through. And as you run, I'll be there with you. I'll give you strength to go through this and that and everything else. If you'll run with my power and my might, you'll see that you'll come out all right. And then you can shout with the victory, I've finished the race. I've won. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a word of the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. I don't think I can do any better closing than that right there. That the Holy Spirit gave me that. So I just said it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Yes. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to preach a message, and especially today, the first day of the year. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is a great time. You can change your year forever. If you're in this place and you know what it is to be in that race, but you've sort of disqualified yourself, and you need to come and rededicate your life to God. Anybody on any one of those invitations in this room, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, but I don't know who you are unless you're willing to raise your hand and identify yourself so I can pray with you. So if you need Jesus, if you need to rededicate your life on this first day of the year, change your life forever. Let me see your hand right now, anywhere in the room. Help me, ushers. Anybody? Is there a hand raised back here? I see a hand. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Everyone stand, please. I'm going to go right down front. I think there were at least two hands raised. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to step out in that aisle right now. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, step out in that aisle and come right down here right now. I want to shake hands with you, and I want to pray with you. Come on, right now. Come on, young man, right here. Turn and face me. Just stand right there. Wait, we'll wait for some others to come. Come on. Just stand and face me. Hallelujah.
And the things
God bless you. Thank you.
Will go astray.
Anybody else want to come? Come on now.
In the
there you go. Come on.
Of his glory.
All right, Brother Harold. Stand right here, man. God bless you. You can stand with him, Harold. It's okay. Come right on. Right now. Right now. Right here. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, yeah. Bless you, little one. You're never too young. You're never too old to accept Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. We're going to wait just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. You guys standing here in front of me, look my direction just a minute. I got two books. One of them called New Birth, and the other one is called In Him. This one tells you about salvation. This tells you about who you are in Christ. If I said I was going to give these to you, and I stick them out there like that, what you got to do to get them? Somebody show me what you got to do to get them. Yeah, they're yours. Now, every one of y'all going to get those same books in just a minute. That's just an illustration I'd use. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come down here for. So I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one, just one of them. With that hand, you're saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I come for. Congregation, reach your hands toward them as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands down and look at me for just a moment, please. You see that young man right there? That's Zach. He's one of the staff around here. He's the young adults minister and the youth minister. Would y'all just turn and follow him to that place? I want you to go to a place where you can get those books and be prayed with individually and in depth. Just go on right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.